Sí.
I want to go to Philippians chapter 4 again. I want to just finish out with that, and we'll move around just a little bit, and we'll review a little bit, but we'll move around there, and then we'll finish up with Philippians chapter 4. Because I want you to see some things in this chapter I think is interesting, and so that's why we're going back there just to finish it up. Before we pray, we got an understanding of having the proper perspective as far as giving and receiving is concerned. With the word communicate, we understand that the word communicate means share with. But you know, there have been things that have been taken so much out of proportion from a perspective of the so-called church nowadays, that they only associate communicating or giving and receiving, they only communicate that, or they only try to get the understanding of that as being money itself. And even when you look at some things, y'all just say go there, so I'll do that. Keep Philippians chapter 4, and then we will come back to Malachi. We'll come back to Malachi chapter. Keep Philippians 4. We're going to go to Malachi chapter 3. And there's some things that I want to point out. I want to point out in these verses so that we can understand some things concerning that. Okay. So as we look at Malachi chapter 3, and I want to deal with it from a perspective of giving and receiving to show you the perversion that's associated with this and how it's taken so much off course from the real purpose behind why the church gave certain things, and it's important for us to understand this purpose. So Malachi 3, obviously, is something that's dealt with quite a bit in churches. Verse 8 says, will a man rob Yah? Malachi 3, verse 8. So will a man rob Yah? He said, yet ye have robbed me. But he said, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes, plural, and offerings. Then verse 10, he said, verse 9, he said, you are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Okay. Verse 10, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. When we look at the word storehouse in verse 10, it means depository, armory, cellar, okay, garner, treasure. So when you look at these things that show what a storehouse is, it goes on and reveals and says that there may be meat. When you look at meat, it says something torn, fragment, a fresh leaf, prey, food, leaf, meat, prey, spoil. So even when you look at the word meat, it can be considered a spoil. So y'all flow with me. We're coming back from Malachi 3. We're going to go back a little bit, and we're going to go to Genesis. I think it's. Let me make sure. I think it's Genesis 14. Okay. Now, do y'all remember? I'm going to go back to Malachi chapter 3, and I want to define the word meat, okay, and from verse 10. So you look at it in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring ye all the tithes, okay, tithes, it means the tenth, that's what the word tithe means, it means the tenth part. Bring the tithes in the storehouse, armory, cellar, storehouse, treasure, depository, so that there be meat. Now, when you look at the word meat again, it means something from, something torn, a fragment, a fresh leaf, so it's vegetation. Pray, food. Then it says leaf, meat, prey, spoil. So I want to focus on two words, prey and then spoil, specifically spoil, so that when we go back and we look at when we go forward, look at Genesis chapter 14, and it starts to give words, we'll understand what's being dealt with here. Because from a traditional standpoint, when they said, and Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek, we want to look at what's going on in order to understand that it's in harmony with what we've taught as far as communicating is concerned and giving and receiving, to bring into an understanding that it's not dealing with money when it comes down to God's mindset in the, from the perspective of meeting the needs of people, okay? And so as you as we look at Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 11.
14?
Yeah. Genesis 14. I did it to 14. Yeah, y'all correct me, because sometimes I don't know I'll be doing it, because I be in these different realms, and sometimes I'm thinking I'm saying stuff, but I'm not. And so just make sure you correct me. Now, as you see here, verse 2, Genesis 14, verse 2 says, verse 1 says, it came to pass in the day of Amraphel, king of Shinar. What is Shinar?
Babylon
territory, Babylon, correct. So it's king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, and then Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidea, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah. Okay? Now, so we see another war going on here, so I wanted you to understand that, and I want to focus on that for the sake of time. Now, as we skip down to verse 11, just 14, verse 11, it said, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? So now, when we look at the word good, what does it say as far as the definition of meat is concerned? We'll go back and look at it. Spoil, meat, let's look at, okay, I'm just going to look at it again. Fragment, what else? Matter of fact, you haven't read that, so I won't have to go back and forth. And so what is again, meat is what?
Spoil,
meat.
Fresh leaf.
Okay, fresh leaf, what else? Pray. Okay, so now, verse 11 says, they took all the goods. We'll look at the word goods. It means riches. Okay, property. And it also deals with a passive principle. It says to lay up, to collect. So we're looking at meat being in the depository. Okay. What else was the definition as far as meat again? Depository, goods, spoil.
As far as meat.
Yeah, meat.
Fresh meat.
Fresh leaf.
Fragment.
Deposit. I think it said storehouse. It's storehouse. So when you look at the goods, it also shows an association. That's why I mentioned storehouse. It also shows an association with the word goods. Because it shows, when you look at it from the Hebrew and you start to deal with it, it says to lay up. So we know that the goods that they stole was in storehouse. Because these goods were laid up. They were gathered. So he says, bring the tithe into the storehouse, depository, things you lay up, so there be meat in my house. Okay, so we see harmony with the storehouse in the word good. And as we continue to deal with the verse 11, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the victuals. Okay, goods, storehouse, when we look at the word victuals, and what does the definition of victuals say? It says food, eating, food, pray. So we look at visual, meaning pray. Okay? Now, as this event go on, I want to skip down, you know, again, for the sake of the time. It says, verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, Lot is his nephew, but he called him his brother. Okay. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Our father Abraham was a warrior. He handled business. Abraham was, you know, he and his men, they had wars against nations. He would take 300 of those men. It's funny how you get to move to 300, but I'm just saying, Abram took 300 of his men, and he went and took back everything that was taken in Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 12 says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And I'm going to skip to verse 16. Verse 16 said he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot, which is his nephew, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after the return of the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the Valley of Shaver, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High Yah. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High Yah, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High Yah, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, tithe of all. Okay, and he gave him a tenth part of all. Now, as you see here in the description that we dealt with above, with goods and then also victuals, and so as you see, you also see men and women who were taken. And so when you look at the riches as far as scripture is concerned, there were things that were more valuable than money. And so when you look at the mindset of the system today, the system doesn't care about the money. What the system care about is the control of the victuals, or the visuals, okay? And so there's an old saying that if you control the water and the food, you can control men. And so when you look at the thing that they valued, they took what was valuable to, or most valuable to the men. It wasn't necessary. From me, you look at it from a Christian perspective, they went in and just gathered up all the money. Well, the scriptures clearly says they gathered goods, and so since you're talking about goods, and the scripture doesn't say money, then it's not our right to say money, but we have to define it according to the way that the scriptures define it. So we look at goods that was in storage, and so what makes it strange is, okay, what was it about this place that would make them just store stacks of money for them to go in there and get? But it does make sense when you look at the harmony of the tithe and the scriptures and associated with that, that shows the value of things, even to the point that what Yah wants to be in his storehouse. We have to come to the conclusion that it is something that is going to benefit all mankind that was beyond or more important than money. You notice when our father Joseph, when he was second in charge in Egypt, you notice when it was a famine, they weren't storing money. They were storing the wheat. They were storing the wheat and things like that. And people came in and got that which was considered valuable in that region. See, and this is the thing that we have to understand. See, over here in In America, money is what's considered as value. But when we stay in harmony with the scripture, we have to understand that the food and the water supply and all these different things were what was considered riches. The Bible says Abraham was rich in cattle and things. He also had silver and gold, too. But it points out that his riches was in the possession of things that he had that could be traded and consumed and different things like that. That's what we want to make sure that we're understanding. So as we look at this in verse 16 again, it says that he brought back all the goods. So we'll look at the word in verse 16 again, as far as goods is concerned. He brought back all the goods. It says property, goods, riches, substance. So you look at all these different things. He brought back all the goods and brought again. So when you look at the word goods, it lets you know, especially from a perspective of what they took in verse 11, that they brought back the goods and the things of, you know, that they took. Okay, although it says good in verse 11, and it's saying all the victuals too. So I want you to understand this harmony of things as we go back to Malachi chapter 3. Okay, so now as we go back to Malachi chapter 3, he says, again, in verse 10, he says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. So you're looking at it. And again, he said, that there may be meat in my house. So when you see meat again, I want to define it just one more time. When you see meat again, it says something torn, fragment, a fresh leaf, prey, food, leaf, meat, prey, spoil, okay? And I want to go back again, forward, again, and I want to see if there's a word in here that says spoil. In Genesis 14, I just want to make sure if the word, it may not say spoil, but I think it does. For one, I think I'm just scanning over it too fast. It's not really that big of a deal if we don't. It may not be in here. I was just wanting to see if that word was in here. Okay, we'll go back to Malachi chapter 3 now. Now, as you see again, he says, bring the tithe into the storehouse so there may be meat in the house. Now, as churches explain this tithe, and what you hear them say is, okay, back then, you know, they gave the tithe, it was food, but now it's money. And so you bring 10% of your income every week, or however way they want to put it. Now, when you look at the history as far as the storehouse is concerned, they didn't bring the tithe in on a weekly basis, if you want to stay in harmony with the scriptures, because the tithe was considered meat, it was considered crop, it was considered food, and so you have to understand that a lot of these things, especially as far as the crops are concerned, it would take them a period of time for that stuff to grow to be the 10% to be given. Okay? And so as you look at these different things that's in association with the tithe, and then when we get back over in Philippians chapter 4, we'll see that how the church has gotten things so off, because all they want to do is concentrate on money. Money is, if you're not giving the money, then you're not even saved if you're not giving the money. That's the mindset. I hear that from a lot of preachers, you know. They're sort of saying, you know, if you don't give money, then your walk with God is not right, and all these different things like this. But at the same time, all of them refuse to go back and look at the scripture, really interpret it for what it really means. Okay? And so Abraham gave him a tenth of all the goods. And so when you look at it from the perspective of how the scripture is dealing with these things, what I'm trying to say in a nutshell is that it is vitally important for us not to take the scripture now and add our own understanding to it. We have to stay in harmony with the scriptures. And since the scripture is showing that the tithe is money, the scripture is showing that the tithe is not money, we can't turn around now and start using that as the avenue to say this is what the tithe is, or this is what the offering is, because we have to stay in harmony with the scriptures, okay? And that's why even now when you get back over in Philippians chapter 4, you'll see that as we moved around in those different scriptures, we looked at Acts chapter 16, you see that all of this communication, all this giving and receiving, money was something that they were not focusing on. Matter of fact, there's one incident when you see them specifically dealing with money. I want to find out what it is. Mark chapter 12, verse 43. We may read some other verses. We'll look at verse 41, Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Because I want you to see the lie. That's why I'm doing this now. Now, Mark chapter 12, verse 41 says, "And Yehoshua set over against the treasury." Notice now, we're going to define the word treasury now. Okay, the word treasury is it says treasure house, and we're going to really break this word down because I want you to see it. Okay, again, verse 41 says, Yehoshua set over against the treasury. The word treasury means treasure house, a court in the temple for the collection. Then it says boxes. Okay, it says boxes, and we're going to define this word a little bit more because it starts to give the association with the word. So it says from the origin treasure. Okay, from the origin treasure, we also deal with another definition. See if it gives us something. It says the place, so it's letting us know that in a nutshell, what this is about. So our Savior now is sitting over, verse 41, we understand what the word treasury is now, and Yehoshua sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast what? Money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Y'all see it here. So let's deal with the word money. Okay? Now, when you look at the word money, it says we're going to look at from 5465, it says a base of 5490 and lower. So it says let me see, chasm vacancy. I'm just trying to see if the words that we can look at as far as a deeper meaning of the word money. It really doesn't give a whole lot of anything from it. We still may look at some other things. So then again, it says that he gave money. Verse 41. Again, we want to look at the word again. And he gave money. Again, it says through the idea of hauling out as a vessel. This metal being chiefly used for that purpose, copper. Let us know what money is. Copper, the substance or some implement or coin made of it, brass, money. So we see now as the word is being defined, it makes it clear that what money is in comparison to meat. And you see here in the scripture that there were times when they did give money. And at the same time, you do see that there were times when money was not the concern. Now we need to understand that there is a difference between money and meat. And when you look at scripture, money is never classified as a tithe. This is why I'm born this way out. Okay? So as you see in verse 41 now, it says, and Yehoshua was set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Son finally told me, ye tithe of mint and rue. Okay, now, it says, and it's really Yah just revealing that as I'm teaching now. Now, verse 41, he set up against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich casting much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites. Now, when you look at the word two mites here, the word two mites, two as in double, two, double plain, mite means it's a derivative of 30-13. So we want to look at it. It's a small coin. We look at a mite, it's a small coin, but it's a derivative of 30-13, so it's a coin. But it's like a flake. It says a flake. So it lets you know that the money was weighed back then. Something scaled. So you look at two mites, she gave corn, but the value of it was determined how much it weighed. Okay? Now, as we look at this now, it says, and she cast in, verse 42, and there are a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which was a farthing. What does the word farthing mean? Okay? Which was a farthing, it says a quantity. It says the fourth part as a farthing. Let's deal with that. And let's see if we can pull up other meanings of it. I think it's going to say farthing most of the time. But then it gives a definition here. It says mite. It is the seventh part of one piece of a brass money. Okay? So it shows you how these different things are weighed to determine its value. So this woman, she cast in these mites. Okay? Then verse 23 said, and he, Yehoshua, called his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in their abundance, but she in her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So the value from the perspective of Christ was concerned was not on how much she put in, but the method by which you put in. That's why I come with the term that very few people give according to your yardstick. In other words, we can all give and have the same yardstick, but if my yardstick is longer than your yardstick, and I give what your measure of stick is, then you gave more than me based upon the value of God, because I gave out of my abundance, and I still got a lot of yardstick left, and you don't. So from that perspective, we see here clearly that there's a difference between the tithe and money. The scripture clearly identified it as money. Now, Elder, read the passage now. Go up where he says, ye tithe of mint and rue of me.
But what was you buried here? But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs.
Okay, mint and rue and what?
All manner of herbs.
Okay, tell us what mint is, tell us what rue is, and what herbs are.
It says mint is a sweet-scented plant.
A plant. So we got the tithe of mint, which is a plant, so we're looking at some form of food. Okay.
Rue is from its thick or fleshy leaves.
leaf, plant, okay? And what is herb?
Herbs is a vegetable.
A vegetable. So here we have mint, we have rue, we have herb, all of them classified as some form of plant or vegetable. Now, when you go back now to Genesis chapter 4, because you will hear preachers say that go to Malachi, they say you, first of all, Old Testament has been done away with, but then they go to Malachi to teach the tithe principle. It's hard to get money from people. But yet, you look at Genesis 14, and it's showing visuals, but it also says good. But in order to understand what goods are, and visuals, and to see what he tithes on, everything that you see that's connected with tithe is herb, vegetation, or some plant form, or some food form. But it's often funny that preacher will say, well, it's money today, but yet you can see what book are you reading from?
Luke chapter 11.
Luke chapter 11, which is considered what? The so-called New Testament? And so you'll see them in the New Testament still tithing vegetation. But then you also see in the New Testament in Mark chapter 12 where they gave money because they understood, our nation understood the difference between money and tithe. Y'all see it? They understood the difference between money and tithe. Yes, funds were used and taken up in the treasury to do specific things, but at the same time, when you start to talk about the tithe was always put in the storehouse to meet the needs of people from a perspective of food. Notice that I say this thing, you tithe money. He didn't say it. And so when we deal with the scriptures according to the truth, we understand, as we look at it here, yeah, there was money that was taken up into the treasury for certain things that need to be done for whatever reason they was doing it. Because verse 39 says, the chief seats in the synagogue and the othermost rooms at the feast. So you're seeing here where there's a sitting or this is taking place, where they are actually taking up money or whatever reason or another. But when preachers start holding people bound to the tithe, we have to understand the tithe be really what it is. The tithe has to be understood as really what it is. So when we start again going and looking at Philippians chapter 4, and we see this communication, we can't be deceived in thinking that every time you hear communication or give and receive, give it and receive it, it has to be something that has to do with money. I'm trying to think if there are There are four, I think it's four, or at least four, that I can think of now. And so don't hold me to it because it may be more, but I think at least it's four. There are four areas of what can be considered as seed. Money is not one of those things necessary that you consider seed. When you look at scripture and start to deal with seed, you know, you get preachers and sow your seed. When you get scripture that start to deal with seed, it is from a perspective of animals and mankind. Because we have to stay in harmony with the scripture. It also is considered the word. I'm trying to remember what the fourth one was.
Plant.
Plant. Yeah. You have plant, animals, mankind, plant. And the word. When you start looking at things from the perspective of seed, a seed can only be classified as that when it can produce after its own kind. Money can't produce after its own kind. Man is lying to you and try to tell you spiritually that it can. Okay? So when you start dealing with things from the perspective of seed, all these little catchphrases are used to deceive people into doing things that's not in line with the scripture. So as we deal with this now, I just want to continue on. That was kind of like a little review, now I can pray, then we'll finish up. Father, God, we bless your name on today as we are getting clearer and clearer understanding of your word. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Now, Philippians 4, we're going to go back there, and we'll look at verse 17, and then we'll move on and finish out the chapter. But there's some other things that I'll show you if we have the time to do so. Okay, now, Philippians 4, verse 17, he says, not because I desire gift. When you look at the word, gift, here we want to define that, not because I desire present, okay? He said a gift, not because I desire a present for you to bring forth or deliver something to me, okay? Not because I desire gift, he said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So you get this passage here, and this is what preachers talk about. You sow your seed of money, then you have an account set up and you can tap into resources and all these types of things. But that's not what Paul is referring to. Verse 18, he said, but I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing unto Yah. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Yehoshua Mashiach. So when we operate from a perspective of sharing with, then Yah will supply our need, whatever that need may be. So what we're to understand is that okay, the treasury or money has its perspective in certain things. It depends on what you know, you're talking about life bill or whatever. Yeah, we understand that money can be taken up to take care of certain things as far as that is concerned. But then at the same time, we want to keep the balance with this thing, and we don't want to now be having people bound to a certain doctrine of men that's not in line with Scripture, because we know the tithe is not money. Money is money. The tithe is the tenth part of crops and vegetation, herbs and food, all these things that the Scripture has showed us throughout from Genesis all the way to we read Luke. From Genesis all the way to Luke, as they talk about these things, it makes a clear distinction between tithe and money. So we're not going to, that's the reason why if we take up tithe, it will be food to be able to meet the needs of people. We know that there are times when, according to the way we read Scripture, a time where money would be taken up. That's not our focal point, to try to get people to do these different things based upon keeping them in bondage to a doctrine. We understand that there are certain things that have to be done, and as a result of it, we bring money and put it into the treasury so that it can be used for certain things that need to be done. And at the same time, we don't want to doctrinize people and start saying, we need tithes. You know, tithes be cursed. Well, it shows when you go look at Malachi chapter 1, the reason why they were cursed. They were cursed because they were bringing the sick and lame tithe. Yeah, I'll just go there. I'm not going to finish Philippians 4. Now, when you look at Malachi chapter 1, to show you how this thing is messed up now. Verse 6, Malachi 1, verse 6. You don't understand Malachi 3 unless you understand Malachi 1. Because Malachi 1 tells you what the tithe is. Okay? Now, Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said Jehovah of hosts unto you, O priest. So who he's talking to? He's talking to the priest. O priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? He said, ye offer polluted bread, meat. Malachi 3, verse 10, meat. He said, you almost polluted bread up on mine altar. And ye said, wherein have we polluted thee? He said, in that ye set a table of the holy is contemptible. He said, if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is that money? He's talking about the blind. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor, will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, says Jehovah of hosts. Verse 9, and now I pray you, beseech Yah that he will be gracious unto you. This has been by your means, will he regard your person, saith the Jehovah of hosts. Then as you look at this now, he goes to verse 11. I'm going to just skip to verse 11 for the time. He says, for from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen. Among the heathen, says Jehovah of hosts. Verse 12, but ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of Jehovah is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Now, let's look at the word fruit and the word meat. Now, the word fruit here is produce. What he said in Malachi 3:10? So that there be meat in my house. What was the definition of the word? Go to Elder, give us the definition of the word meat again.
Fragment.
Freshly. What else?
Meat,
what?
Prey.
Foil. Okay, so we're looking at these definitions now, and he says, so it'll be meat. He says, and the fruit thereof, even his meat. So when you look at the fruit thereof, it says produce. Okay, then he says, even his meat. When you look at the word meat, same definition. Food, eating, food, prey, victuals. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4:14, you're seeing victuals in this here. So when you look at it, you're seeing the meaning come together in there in harmony throughout Scripture. So when you look at it, God is saying, okay, you polluted my altar, but you didn't pollute it by putting money in the bucket. You polluted my altar because there were certain things that I had told you to give according to the law, things without spot or blemish, but you brought me all the sick stuff. I told you to bring me everything according to the law that was pure, that was without spot or blemish. But you brought me everything that you didn't want and put that on the altar and sacrifice that to Yah and let me keep all the best stuff for myself. That's what our nation was doing. So when you look at him saying now in Malachi chapter 3, you're robbing me, even this whole nation. This is who he's talking to, the priests who are robbing the people and the whole nation because they're allowing them to do this. They're allowing them to bring the sick and the lame, and it has nothing to do with the money itself. Because as we see that the scripture does point out that there was money taken out for the treasury, and you can research and do scripture reading, you'll see certain things were these funds were used. At the same time, we start dealing with the tithes, got to stay with the scripture. That's why we don't teach tithes like this. I don't tell you to bring 10% of your money here. Okay? When I start talking about giving, I'm going to go to Corinthians, what Paul is saying from a perspective of every man according to his purpose in his heart, so that he'll give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for Yah's love and cheerful giver. In other words, whatever that individual is able to share with, then Yah loves that when that person is sharing with it according to the privilege of their home. So we have to make sure that we stay in harmony with the scriptures now. And then look at what he says. He goes on to say in verse 13, and he said also, behold, what a weariness it is that we have snuffed at it, said Jehovah of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Bring ye the tithe and the offering. 10%, the 10% was the animal itself. The offering was what they offered. So when he said tithe and offering, bring 10% and offer it. Both the tithe and the offering, okay? So when you look at now, the word in verse 13, as we deal with the word offering, it says to bestow, a donation, gift, oblation, meat offering, present, sacrifice. So you start to look at these different things. So now when you see Paul, now he said, Paul said, not that I desire gifts. They weren't coming just putting money in his hand. It says in Romans, well, Acts chapter 16, I believe it's 16, Acts 16, verse 12, the whole round up in there, well, they were given to Paul to meet his need. He was being fed by the women. You know, the woman who said, hey, come stay in my house. He was being fed. He was given a place to stay. That was a gift to Paul. Okay? Now, we're not teaching this now for people to turn around and say, well, I don't have to give any money anymore. Well, let that be in your own heart, what you should and shouldn't do. I'm not concerned either way. What you purpose in your heart, then that's what you do. What you have to share with, then that's what you do. Okay? Let Yah be the judge. Okay? And so as you deal with these different things, you see how the scripture says it, and that's why he said in verse 14, who is the curse? In Malachi 3, verse 10. Verse 14 of Malachi 1 tells us, but cursed be the deceiver. That's who's cursed. Cursed be the deceiver which has in his flock a male and violence and sacrifice unto Jehovah a corrupt plague. For I am a great king, says Jehovah of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. So the curse of Malachi chapter 3 is the liar, the deceiver, who is supposed to be doing what Yah has put it, blessed him to be, him or her to be able to do, and they're deceiving from a perspective of taking that tithe and holding it back and offering that which was lame and polluted. That's the truth behind the tithe. What is the harm with that? That's why when you go now to Acts chapter 3, is it Acts chapter 3, maybe 4? Look for Ananias. 5. Acts chapter 5. You see the woman in there. Who is the curse? The deceiver. Now, when you look at Acts chapter 5, verse 1 says, but a certain man named Ananias with wife Sapphira, his wife sold a possession. Did it. And kept back part of the price. So we know when you look at the word price, it says value. Okay? So in a nutshell, they kept back part of the value. So you have to understand the mindset. Here they sold his possession to give to for the support of the church. But when they sold it, they kept back part of the price of it. They didn't want to give it all. Verse 2 said, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While this remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast lied unto men, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto Yah? And then verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell dead. That's the deception part. Yah doesn't like deception. And so when you look at this, when you go back to Malachi chapter 1, he says, cursed be the deceiver. You're looking at Ananias here. You're having the experience of what's even going on in Malachi chapter 1. Cursed be the deceiver. You get in Malachi 3. So when it says, ye are cursed with a curse, it's because he says, you have robbed me, even this whole nation, because you're taking now the lame and the sick thing, and you're presenting that to me and the people, because you have to understand what the tithe was used for. What the tithe was used for based upon Scripture. The Bible said that they sit down with the families and ate it. So you had families now, the poor and the needy, sitting down eating lame and sick animals. You see the deception associated with that. So y'all was upset. He said, "You're not honoring me. You're cursed. You robbed me, even this whole nation. You're cursed with a curse because you robbed me, even this whole nation, because they were feeding people." Doesn't remind you of what people do today? The system that sit up, they don't take the healthiest food. They try to go the cheapest route and to do all these things and present it to the people so that the people can consume this old same lame and sick and all these different things because they want to consume the riches upon themselves. Same thing happening in the church and outside the church. In fact, the church has taken on the mentality of this system that's not of Yah, a heathenistic system. And so as you see throughout all of the scriptures, you're seeing a harmony here. The tithe has always been meat, produce, or crop in one fast or another, animals in one fast or another. The tithe has always been 10% of that. Never been money. The tithe has never been money, never will be money. Money is identified as money. It is taken up and put in a treasury, according to Scripture. Our Savior didn't have any issues with it. He stood over against the treasury. So there was some legit reason why they were taking up money for the treasury. Okay? And then at the same time, it shows throughout. You can go back to the Old Testament, and you can go all the way through into the New Testament when Paul is talking about it. You see all of them, when they gave to the treasury, notice there's a difference between the treasury and the tithe. The tithe was commanded, the treasury was a free will offering. Treasury has always been a free will offering. The treasury has never been a command of 10%. The tithe of men. The treasury has always been free will. Every man give according as he purpose in his heart. You see it over in the Old Testament where it tells you every man who desires to give to the building of the temple, pray. Every man as he feels the need to do so. They never sit down and say, everybody needs to bring 10% because we're building this temple. No, every man gave according to as he purpose in his heart. That's why Paul taught it the way he did in Corinthians. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 9. And so we got to line up with the scriptures. When we line up with the scriptures and start doing things based upon the scriptures, when we give to the treasure according to the purpose in our heart, when we understand the purposes that's associated and the true meaning of why we do things, why we have a treasury, then you know, it'll touch the heart of people to support the treasury. And at the same time, as far as the tithe is concerned, you know, we've always had a ministry. There's some things that we're going to even do more so once we finish our building. We're going to have some things set up so it can be meat in the house for the people. Because, you know, you're always going to find people who are going to be hungry. They're going to have a need in one fast or another. So all these things we want to do. We want to make sure that they line up with the scripture. And I don't want to sit here, elders, I don't want to sit here and be teaching y'all something that is not in harmony with the scripture. That's why we do not talk about bringing the tithe here as money. We don't have things set up right now for the legitimate scriptural tithe. That's why we don't talk about it. It will come a day when we will start telling you again, hey, y'all, start bringing, hey, you going to grocery shopping? Bring 10% of that. And put it in the storehouse so it'll be meat for a family who may have need of it. You want about $200 groceries, and just bring 20% of that over to them. 20% of those groceries over here. I'm just using that as an example to try to give you to understand what the true tithe is. Basically, a nutshell is not really in place today because the scripture tells our nation that when we cross over into the land to start tithing, we're not in our land. That's the only way it can legitimately be done. Our nation did start tithing until they crossed over into the promised land, and they were to take 10% of their crop and their vegetation, however you want to put it, to make sure that people who were in need were taken care, who were in need, they were taken care of. Yes,
I think the interesting thing about it now, even the church taking up the so-called tithe, even being money, they don't use it to meet the needs of the people.
No, they do not. If you want to classify it that way, then use it according to what the scripture says for that. So be meat in mine house, so all of us can eat. Okay? It's not meant, and that's why I said I'm going to be bold about it, I'm going to stay with it. I'll preach it from the housetop. It is not meant for preachers to go get big mansions and grow horses and to get buildings and pay old buildings off and keep collecting them. And just, no, just do what the scripture said. There was a time when they took the money for the temple. But there was a time when they were saying, this is enough. And the priests and the elders, a bunch of the people said, don't give anymore. We've taken up enough. There are some churches been in building funds for 50 years. And hadn't changed the doorknob on the door. We will not do it. When we finish our project, we're not going to be sitting up here talking about we need resources to do it. Y'all, everything's paid for. All we got to do is focus on light bill, water bill, and whatever other monthly bill that we have. We're not sitting here talking about no building fund and no. Mm-mm. Unless y'all lead us to do something else that's going to take a treasury. We are not concerned. We want to line up with the truth, y'all. And when it comes down to giving, that's why you never hear me talk about it. When it comes down to giving, I could care less what anybody gives. I do not care. I really don't. Whether you give or not, I could care less. I don't even care. That's your heart. Every man according to these purposes in his heart, so let him give. So if you don't feel like doing it, that's your heart. That's between you and y'all. I just want to stand right before y'all, and I want to lead a church that want to operate the same way. We want to please y'all in every facet of the scripture, and we're going to lay it out in truth. We're going to make it clear so that you understand, and you don't have to be in bondage to no man. And when you hear people sit around and talk about these doctrines and things like that, we know precept upon precept, line upon line, that does not line up with the scripture. We're not doing anything that's not the apostles' doctrine. Because the apostles' doctrine lines up with what lines up with Christ, it lines up with the prophets, it lines up with the Psalms, it lines up with the law. If it doesn't line up, we don't teach it. Okay? That's all I have. Any questions or comments? Go ahead.
I always say it was strange how people would give offering. Mm-hmm. And after giving offering, they'll count in front of everybody and tell them what's needed.
Right.
Or keep giving.
Right. Now, you still have some more?
No.
Okay. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because as you look at 2 Corinthians 9 talk about this, what you just said. Whereas what he said is as a church, they take up what they said, tithes and offering, however you want to put it, and then they account and say this is not enough. Look at what Paul said. Paul points it out, he says in verse 7, he says, every man according as he purposes in his heart. That's why I said it earlier. He said, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Let's look at the word grudgingly before we close. Now, he says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Y'all know I've given the money back to the church before. Because I'd be like, y'all was like, okay, this is not pure. There's no purpose here. The hearts are not pure behind. So I was like, yeah, take the money back. I don't care. And it says, so let him give. When it says, not grudgingly, it says, when you look at the origin of it, let me put it up here. It says the noting origin, the point, it says from out of place. So when you look at grudgingly, you're looking at someone compelling you to give out of place. In other words, wait a minute, man, I gave, you're not going to let me leave unless I give. And so when you look at out of place, we'll still deal with some distance. Out of place, time or call. It says exceedingly. So it lets me know that if you're asking me, so I'm going to put it this way, if you're asking me to give something beyond what's purpose in my heart, now I'm grudgingly. Because you're asking me to be now above my place, okay? You're asking me to do something exceeding of what was in my heart. Now I'm stressing behind it. Because wait a minute, I gave you what y'all put on my heart to give. Now you're trying to get another 50 out of it for thing. I need that for gas. So now I'm giving grudgingly now. Prophets don't give that way. Okay? He said, or of necessity. When you look at of necessity now, it means, let's deal with it. It says of necessity, it says constraint, distress, must need. Y'all, we got to pay this bill, these lights gonna get cut off. Well, if they about to get cut, my mindset is, okay, if the lights gonna get cut off and I gotta stress people out to get it, then we have outclassed in darkness. If y'all didn't put it on the heart for people to keep the lights on, then we gonna have church and it's gonna be in the dark. We ain't gonna be recording and all that stuff. So we have it. Because I know what y'all called me to do, and I'm gonna be in place to do what I'm called to do. And if all the things are not in place for that to happen, I refuse to call or to stress people out or to call people to get beyond what's in their heart to do. Because then they're not a cheerful giver, they're stressed. Y'all love a cheerful giver. Let's look at the word cheerful, and we'll close if there are no other questions now. Y'all love a cheerful. Notice it says hilaros. That's where the word cheerful giving comes from. A person who's married, a person who says, yeah, I want to get my part. Let me get mine. Y'all doesn't like it when a person is giving and they're stressed out and they're saying, man, this is more than what I really want to give. Dang, you know, God won't let nobody go. He got us a constraint. He done locked the door. We ain't getting out of here. We get this money. That's not y'all. Y'all said, when you give it, I want you to feel good about it. And I want you to be able to put it in the treasury and say, yeah, I just thank you that I'm able to communicate. I'm able to share with what I have. And I'm not stressed out doing it. I didn't turn around and give an offering or give money to the treasury, and now I'm going home saying, man, I don't know how to make the rest of the week. That's crazy stuff. Okay? So now you understand why we never put stress on anyone concerning giving, because Yah loves someone who is prompt to do it, someone who is moved by Yah to do it. That's why you never see me be concerned about it. I'm teaching this now just for your sake of understanding the difference between the tithe and really what money is according to Scripture and the method by which it's done. Money should never be given with constraint or money should never be given based upon constraint or you doing something beyond what you're able to do. Should never be done that way, because anytime things like that have been given, it was given according to what a person has in their heart. You can go back and look at the Old Testament, he called it free will. Give freely, free will. Calling his purpose in his heart, even when they were building the temple. So it lets us know, even today, as people do these churches and things like that, you shouldn't stress anyone out from the perspective of giving, just get a building built. Now the whole church is stressed out. We're in a renovation project now, but I'm not going to stress you out in giving. Yeah, I know what we have need of. And he'll touch hearts as it becomes necessary to get certain things done. Okay? That's how we understand it. Any other questions or comments? Good? Everybody understand? All right. Okay, Father Yahweh, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for another fast of understanding as you lead and guide us in all truth. We just, Yahweh, make an adjustment as we learn and understand. We want to be pleasing to you, and we thank you in the name of Yehoshua. We do pray.